Everything's working. Okay, here we go. Our Wednesday night, middle of the week encouragement, right? Hard to find stuff like that these days because things are so perilous as we're getting there. I'm sure we are. So tonight, we're looking at Paul's greatest fear. And I don't want people to think that I spend so much time talking about Paul, never about the Lord himself, but we all have a Bible. We all can read about the Lord. We can all read about the Old Testament. We can read about the tribulation. We can read anything you want to read, and you can get all the stuff there that you want to get. This is just some filler for you during the during the week. And Paul is our only apostle. It's just like, I don't talk about other Bible versions. I don't go and compare, I don't do that. It's King James Bible. That's all. And it has to be rightly divided. And it's rightly divided by book, not by what I think each verse is fixed for and all that sort of a thing. So I don't want anybody to think I'm overdoing Paul. Paul is our apostle. He's the one that we are to turn to. We're not to imitate Paul. We don't have to be like Paul. We just have to learn from him and follow him with what he teaches us and tells us to do. So if he is the one that is our vocal spokesman for the Lord himself, the risen Savior, of course, then yeah, he's the one I talk about. He's the one I look to tell me about what we need to know. And for me, Paul has become quite a character in my life as a person. Of course, there's the Savior. He's our Savior. He's there where the fellowship is between us and him. I don't sit and pray, Paul. You know, I don't do that. But most of my preaching lately has a lot to do with Paul. What would Paul do if Paul were to come back? What would he say? What would he see? That kind of a thing. So, yeah, Paul is the man to look to. So, I don't want anybody to think that sort of thing. Why do you say that thing? Well, because we're going to look at Paul's greatest fear. And I'm afraid that with us, it's coming true. And I'll show you what I mean here. Now, if we were to go to, let's get started here. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. And we know that Paul is the one that talks about the goodness of God. Now, the goodness of God is mentioned throughout the Bible, obviously, but in this time of dispensation of grace, the goodness of God is the fact that it's all because of grace. And we see in verse 3, you know, talking about these people that reject God kind of a thing, and it says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, these are lost people, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So yes, there is a judgment of God coming, and it is worth preaching, it is worth fearing, if you're a lost person, which is what he's talking about here. Or, despisest thou the riches of his goodness? How could they despise the riches of his goodness? Well, they do. And forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. So Paul is the one that talks about the goodness of God in detail. The risen Savior, what he has done that can be imputed to us. So that's where Paul's coming from. He's the one to turn to. Now, if we look at Romans chapter 11, we know that that's the basis of the rapture. When he cuts off the Gentiles. When the Gentiles are done, Romans chapter 11, verse 22, talks about, behold, therefore, the goodness, there it is, and severity, look at them both, of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. He's talking to the Gentiles here as a nation. Otherwise, thou shalt also be cut off. That's the context of the whole chapter there. So there's going to come a time that if they don't continue in God's goodness, the nation will be cut off. And it doesn't mean that they're just walking a perfect, sinless life. God's goodness. Paul defines the goodness of God, as you read through his books. So, not to get into that thing tonight, we understand the goodness of God, I trust. I don't think anybody knew out there tonight. So, we'll just dig into this thing. And there are so many pastors and preachers now that are preaching biblical psychology and trying to make things happen. Well, we're just going to stick with Paul tonight. I'll be accused of being too much Paul and not having any grace in my life. And I just think all that stuff was bogus because I just do. Whatever. So we go to Romans chapter 11. Then we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we know that there will be people that will not endure the word, preaching the word. And Paul even says, in season, out of season. I do believe without a shadow of a doubt, we are out of season. Things planted today very seldom grow, but they still do grow. I still believe we are Philadelphian church age, just barely. But the Laodicean has to be the tribulation. So we've been over that. We know that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he talks about perilous times are coming. And we see more of these things creeping in. And actually, no longer are they creeping in. They're coming in like a jet, I suppose, coming on the runway. They're just growing faster and faster, these descriptions of perilous times. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we're starting off with, you know, a depressing or whatever subject, and that's the fact that things are going so sour anywhere. But again, remember, I keep track of with people on the internet and the emails and talk to you folks on the phone and just watching, just reading, see what's going on, see the program. I've been always trying to stay ahead of the thing by looking at the mail that I used to get as a pastor, all the programs that are being flown people's ways and all the tricks of the trade to get people to come to church and the whole thing. And never wanted to do those things, and we always seem to do fine, always seem to have the bills paid. People want the truth, but what do they do when they have the truth? Are we Paul's biggest fear? That's tonight. So we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want 2 Thessalonians, there we go, I want 2 Thessalonians chapter, there we go, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. We see that all this description of how things are going to be during the tribulation, we see that Paul tells us, but we are bound to give thanks. And then he goes and explains the things that we should be as a Christian today, as a Paul-following, risen Savior, believing King James Bible Christian. We should have the comfort in our hearts. We should be able to establish ourselves every good word and work, he says there. So, then we look to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We see in verse 13 that Paul also warns us about evil men and seducers. And it's going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So there's deception is going to grow on the increase. And he says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Well, we're supposed to continue in the things that we learn from Paul. And again, tonight is about, are we Paul's biggest fear? How does that fit in together? Well, I know of too many people, and too many situations where people are caught into a snare, like he says in Timothy there, snare of the devil, have to get out themselves. They can't get out themselves, or they won't get out themselves, or are they even wanting to get out of the snare they're in? We see more and more people, we're being forced to love money, whether we love it on a loving basis or we just want it so bad that we will do whatever we can do to get it. Because along with that comes foolish and hurtful lust and erring from the faith and piercing themselves through with sorrows. I see people running out of fight. I feel the desire myself sometimes is just to run out of fight. And yet we realize in Paul's scripture, the one that's been keeping me going is the fact that we're chosen to be a soldier. And Paul calls it a good fight. I think the word would be relinquish ourselves of what we've been called to do by Paul's books there. We go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again, we read that there'll be a falling away. So we know all these things. We're aware of these things. But yet we also know that the second half of that chapter, we're not supposed to be part of that. So as we continue on with my discussion about Paul here, here's some questions here. Have we forsaken Paul? Remember Demas. Remember the way he put it about Demas. Demas forsook Paul. He doesn't say he forsook the Lord, but to forsake Paul is to forsake the Lord. Because if you're not going to read what Paul has to say, then you're not going to be reading your Bible and you're going to be forsaking Paul's writings. You'll be forsaking the Lord himself because that's the only place we can learn about him. So to forsake Paul is to reject Christ. And have we? Is anybody out there? You probably wouldn't be listening to this if you have. But are we? Will we someday forsake what Paul writes? Will we quit doing these things that we're trying to do? Will the battle get us down so much that we just throw our hands up and go, well, I get to go to heaven? That kind of a thing. So have we forsaken Paul? A couple of quick questions before we get into the real meat of this thing is, are we fading? Oh, by the way, tonight's sermon is brought to you by the letter F, part of the words in the F concordance about words that would fit to the sermon here. For example, we have forsaken. Now we have faded. Are we fading from what we first learned about Paul? I'm not just talking about salvation. I'm talking about learning about the risen Savior. Learning about what it is that Paul was told by Christ himself You know, the things that you've heard and the things that you see, Paul, you're going to take those out to the Gentiles. And there's three, four, or five places where it talks about, three and four, talks about where Paul was actually told by the Savior what his ministry will be. So, have we faded from that? Have we justified some of the things that we have heard about other people and seen some things taking place? Are we satisfied with the compromise that's coming into your home or into your church or into your life? Does that mean that you're fading from what Paul was talking about? Remember Timothy 4, 1 talks about take heed. We want to take heed to seducing spirits. Remember, we can be seduced and not know we're being seduced. So are we fading from Paul's writings? Are we fading from Paul? If you're fading from Paul, you're fading away from the risen Savior. Have we failed what Paul's ministry was that he passed on to us with the King James Bible? Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26, Paul talks about what he was called to do, and he passes that on to us. Have we failed, Paul? Are we fainting? I mean, we know what he's taught. We understand what we've seen him do. We understand we've heard him say. We've read his materials. Are we fainting? Because it just wears us out in this world that's crooked and perverse as it is. Getting so close to the tribulation, where even the right thing is considered wrong. Talked about that Sunday. Are we fainting? Are we no longer faithful to Paul? Well, are we supposed to be faithful to Paul? Well, sure, because Paul's in our King James Bible, and we want to stay in that Bible all the time, every day. Be faithful to the book, what it says, rightly divided. So, yeah, are we no longer faithful to Paul? Could we actually stand face to face with Paul and be comfortable? Now, of course we can with the Lord, because he's full of grace and mercy and long-suffering and these things, and he's paid for it all, and he's paid for the shame, all those things. So should we be able to stand in front face-to-face with the Lord? Sure, we ought to be able to do that. But Paul is just one of us. And Paul has sacrificed all that he has sacrificed. And he didn't want to stay here for it, if you remember that. But he said he would stay. If it would help us, he would stay with us. So why can't we stay with Paul? Something changes in your church. Something changes in your life. Something changes in your neighborhood. Something changes in your health or whatever. And we get, you know, more of that falling away takes place. Can we not stay faithful to Paul, what he wrote to us? Do you stay in those books about Paul and try to deal with them? I don't find Paul's writings confusing. I don't find them difficult. Some things are challenging. Very challenging. Some things obviously fight the flesh. Some things I can't explain very well yet, but maybe in due time. But we need to not lose our faithfulness towards Paul, what he wrote, and be able to see him face to face. Sure, we should be able to see him face to face, but can we? All the things that he's preached, all the things that he's taught, is one of us. Could we stand front face to face with him? How about faith? Are we relying more on our faith, and we forget about the fact that our day to day life is led by his faith? Galatians chapter 2. Have we fallen? Just because of pride? It says we can fall into condemnation and reproach and temptation. Do we find ourselves in situations we wish we weren't, but we fell into it because we didn't know any better? Maybe we fell into it because we're fainting. Maybe we fell into that mess because we're fading. We're not as faithful anymore. We're relying on our faith, and our faith weakens. So our faith gives up, and we study that Bible, we end up in some of these situations that we're so prideful that we can dress like this, or talk like this, or act like this, or whatever, and before you know it, you've fallen. You've tripped. And it was a hard fall. Are you following possibly a false gospel? Because if it isn't Paul's gospel, it's a false gospel. And if there's no gospel at all, it's your gospel. And we don't need to follow that. How about the gospel of the U.S., the United States of America gospel, the American gospel, where everything is done politically, and this marvelous country that we've had, and all the things that they talk about, the patriotic gospel. A lot of that stuff goes against Paul's gospel anymore today. Were you overtaken in the fault? Galatians talks about that. If you were not overtaken in the fault, maybe somebody else was overtaken in the fault. And how did you deal with that? Did it knock you down? Did it hurt you? Did it? You know, that we're supposed to grow from those things. None of it was imputed, even if it was one of those serious things, as they say. Are you trying to find favor with more and more people? Do you find yourself... Now remember, the question tonight is, are we Paul's greatest fear? And we're going over the fact that have we faded? Have we fainted? Are we forsaking? Are we losing our faithfulness? Are we falling? Are we listening to false gospels and being around a false gospel? All these kind of things. Are we finding favor with these people that are not with Paul? If you find yourself more and more growing closer to these people that we're actually supposed to avoid in some form, are you seeking fellowship by compromising? I don't see where Paul tells us to compromise for fellowship. Maybe that's part of that finding favor with all the people in the community, in the neighborhood. Are we letting family rule over what's right? Peer pressure, friends, home family. Are you in need of flattery? Do you need somebody to flatter you to keep you going? Or can you take the truth, can you handle the truth about being admonished by somebody who cares? Are you finding yourself foolishly talking more and more? Philosophy, participating in foolish jibber-jabber, as we call it. Have you changed your friends? Maybe you don't have any friends anymore. Are you going to the world for your friends? Well, you know, what have we done as we've become Demas followers, if that's the case? Maybe some of you out there haven't done that. Maybe some of you out there is as strong as ever, as strong as can be, and you're just having a great time and you're just doing your thing. But I just want to ask tonight, the way that we've been approaching the sermons lately, let's look at Galatians chapter 4, and here's the question. We'll answer the question no. Are we Paul's greatest fear? Now remember, we have the Bible. We have that which is perfect. It has to be that which is perfect. It has to be the Bible, or this Bible's not done. I'm looking at this from a common sense standpoint that if this Bible isn't what he's talking about, then tongues still works, and God's going to teach us things without a book, and you guys going to call you this and show you this in your heart, all this kind of stuff that he used to do. But no, we've got a Bible. We have no reason in the world to forsake Paul. We have no reason to fail, to faint, to fall away, other than following our flesh. All F's tonight. And then Paul's fear was an F. Here we go. Galatians 4, verse 11. Paul says, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Now, we know for a fact that Paul is not whining about himself. That would be me. That would be us down here. When we try to help somebody and they turn it down, you know, how much did you care for that person? Or was it just the fact that they didn't listen to you and you feel useless? You know, it's all about you. Well, it's not about you. It's not about me. And it's not about Paul when Paul says that. He says, I'm afraid of you. He's not afraid of them that they're going to hurt him, obviously. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He doesn't want them to not get what he's trying to show them. So, don't you have some folks that you're concerned about, some friends and family that you're aware of, and you want to help them learn these things, and they're not interested in whatever? Is it so easy for you to just brush it off when they can have a false belief, a false gospel, going to a real hell forever? How do you know, these are some hard things to do, or do we just ignore them? And my point here is, I think that we have today, in this day and age, just before the tribulation comes along here, when he says, I have bestowed upon you labor in vain, look at us today. Look at how many people reject Paul's teachings. Just about everybody. Look at those of us that have been following Paul for 1 year, 3 years, 7 years, or whatever. Where are we at today? You know, examine yourself like he says. Have we fallen? Have we failed? Have we fainted? Are we fainting? Again, family ruling over right? Are we falling for flattery? Who do we really follow today? Do we really follow Paul or some segment of Paul? Faithful to Paul's writings? Faded? Forsaken? When you look at what's going on about the goodness of God from Paul, not only is the world out there not interested, the Gentiles as such, not only are the Christians that they say they're Christians are not interested in, they're not interested in the King James Bible, the Word of Truth, they're not interested in the risen Savior's teachings, just the teaching that he rose, and they go back to the Gospels for the teachings. And this is Paul's fear, that he did what he did, not that he just wasted his time, it was done in vain, it's the fact that they didn't get it. And so I'm saying tonight, I do believe that today is the time that we're living in. We're living in the days where we actually have become Paul's fear. He was afraid that it would be done in vain. Here we have a King James Bible, easy to read. Here we have rightly dividing, easy to grasp. And we're so busy. Or we have all these things happening to us that prevents us from being the Christian we really should be based on Paul's teachings. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. Have we become Paul's fear? That what he has in this Bible is actually vain because it doesn't change our lives at all? Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So he's going to talk to these people of reputation. And he's not just going to stand out there and yell at them. He wants to talk to them privately so he doesn't waste his time. He doesn't do what it says there, that he'll do this in vain. He wants them to get it. So we look at us today, and are we fulfilling Paul's fear that more and more as time goes on here, we're falling away, we're losing faith, we're fading, we're forsaking Paul's teachings? How many of us are doing that? If that's the case, that's the one thing that Paul feared, that he would say it in vain. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 16. Now, as you listen to this, I'm sure that if you are in that situation, which I think we all are, some form or another, because we're just getting worn out, just like it says there in Daniel, that how are you justifying the level that you've fallen back to? You justify it by saying, well, it's the way the world is going. It's the world. I have to be out there. Yes, we do. Are you justifying the fact that you have to do this because you need the money, so you can't follow Paul in order to get that money? Are you justifying the family situation? Are you justifying your personal situation? Do you compare yourself to somebody else that even though you might not be dressed as bad or acting as bad or as loud as somebody else, does that make you right? Your standard is supposed to be God's book through Paul. Do you justify the fact that you've fallen away over the last year or two or three or four based on comparing yourself to everybody else? Well, they've fallen, but not as far. I haven't fallen as far as they have. Is that your joy? Is that your strength? Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Did I read that? No, I didn't. Holding forth the word of life, which Paul has there, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. See, Paul didn't want to do what he was doing in vain. What Paul has had written and God has preserved to this day, is it in vain today? Is it working in our lives? I'm going to say no. I can be just as guilty as anybody else. Are you willing to admit that? Don't have to admit it publicly. What are the challenges we have? Well, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have the challenges, Paul. I mean, Paul, you don't know what it's like to live in the year 2010. That's not going to work. And our judgment's not going to be by Paul anyway. Jesus Christ is going to be our judge. He'll be the one talking to us, but it'll be based on Paul's teachings. So are we fulfilling Paul's greatest fear, is the fact that what he had done was done in vain? He wants us to get these things. Would he be that disappointed and that tearful that we're not making the changes? Set our affection on things above, not on things on this earth. That's tough to do. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. There we go. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1. I'm on 2nd. Let's go to 1st. Okay, that makes more sense. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Okay, have you read Ephesians? Have you read Philippians? Have you read Romans? Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8? To where we know that teaching has entered into our lives? How do you know that? Well, it'll change our lives. Okay, you change your lives and you get hassled and you get challenged. Do you quit? Do you back off? Do you pick your battles? What do you do? Are we showing people that it's no longer entered into our lives? Because you know that if we show the entrance of Paul into our lives, it's going to cause suffering, it's going to cause mockery, it's going to cause persecution. Paul tells us that. So if we hide what he's done as he's entered our lives, maybe we're fading away. Maybe we're forsaking Paul. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I mean, Paul just couldn't wait any longer, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So here we are, we're reading Paul, we've been preached this, we've been taught this, and we understand these things, and yet we know that Paul is scared to death that what could happen here is the tempter, which isn't the Lord, by the way, the devil has tempted us. And he gets us away from Paul's teachings. You go backwards. You fall back. You change clothes. You get loud. The roles go back the way they were in the home. The job situation. I mean, all the things that Paul teaches us. Timothy, Titus, all those things. Titus chapter 2. All those things, we throw those out. Why? Well, we're tempted. And we've fallen for the temptations that have come our way. And that was Paul's fear, knowing that we can be tempted and we can go backwards. Paul couldn't wait any longer. I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. He doesn't want to have done what he has done in vain. A hireling as a pastor doesn't want people to miss what he's doing because he thinks he's so great and he wants them to get what he's taught them and be the hero that he's taught them that. But a real pastor wants the people to get it and will do and say whatever it is he can do or say to help them get it. Not build a church, but to help people get a hold of Paul's teachings. That's Paul's desire, that we would learn these things. So, have we become Paul's fear? That what he's got written now for us and what he said to us was said in vain? I feel bad enough that I don't do what the Lord would have me do in my life all the time. But I know that God's full of grace and he's paid for it, and I don't mean to belittle this or make it smaller or whatever it is, but it also bothers me that Paul went what he went through to teach us what he's taught us for me to reject that or to back off on it. I do. It's just one of those things. It's just like the martyrs, these martyrs that were tortured. I mean, you know, really tortured. Children staked and battered and torn apart in front of their eyes and all this kind of a thing so we can have this very Bible today. So I still feel bad that this Bible is so common to people today, knowing what the blood it took for this Bible to come around. Sure, our salvation is based on blood. His blood at the cross. But this Bible came with blood as well. Blood of the people that had the originals and had the pages and had the markings and had the printings and all the printing shop and all that stuff. And their belief that they had it. Well, same thing with Paul. Paul had to shed some blood, and I'm not saying that in the same way. He was beat. Christ even told him that in Acts chapter 9, that he's going to have to Ananias, he's going to have to suffer the things that Christ will show him. So his suffering was done. And yet Paul could have quit and could have given up, and he didn't. So I don't want to be part of Paul's fear that what he has done for me is in vain. As a parent, you don't want to do things in vain as a parent, not just because you want to be the boss, king of the hill, lion king, father, mother thing, but you want your kids to actually, you know, learn and get these things. A teacher wants the kids to actually learn this material, not just stand up there and be the hero and or be the grump, whatever, just give them their grades and I did my job. No, you want them to get this stuff. A pastor wants his people to get the stuff, learn these things. I want you folks to learn the book, learn about Paul, learn about the risen Savior through Paul. And I know what that's going to mean in your family. This stuff is split apart families, husbands and wives, children, church people, churches. Bring Paul into a church, it'll destroy the church. Try to start a church with Paul, and it won't happen unless you compromise somewhere to get people to, you know, that kind of a thing. We've experienced all that. Is this Paul's fear? Are we living in the day where we are Paul's fear coming true? All that he said and done, is it done in vain? Because we're not getting it, we're not making those big changes? Here's some questions I want to ask, and then we'll be done tonight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:2. Just going to look at the word vain. Kind of split away from Paul just a little bit here. You know, there's no benefit from it at all. Vain. And we see in 1 Corinthians 15:2. Let's just ask ourselves these questions. 1 Corinthians 15:2. And it says here, Just do verse 1 here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So if you don't want to follow Paul, and you don't believe in Paul's teachings, and the King James Bible, etc., etc., then you can believe what you want, it'll be done in vain. Unless you have believed in vain. Because he says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died. There's his gospel right there as far as about the Lord himself. Can you imagine believing in vain? Are you believing in vain? Look at Romans 1:21. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. What they can think of, what they can preach, what they can teach on their own imagination level, what they believe personally, can be vain if it's not the right stuff. Became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was dark. Is that what's happening to people? Their imaginations become vain, they can't even think of the right things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. That ties in with Colossians chapter 2, where we talk about philosophy of this world, rudiments of this world. Philosophy and vain deceit. That the Lord says that the thoughts of the wise are vain. All that education, all that schooling, all the learning of life is vain. If it's not for God's glory, et cetera, truth, all those sorts of things. How about 1 Corinthians 15? Do you feel this way? I bet you do sometimes. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. That's nice to know. That is nice to know. That's what the judgment seat is all about. Be steadfast. See, if we're forsaking Paul, if we're failing or fainting or falling back or whatever all those different words, finding favor with other people like that, then we're not being steadfast. We're being movable. We don't need to be movable. That's unmovable. We should always be abounding in the work of the Lord wherever we are. Because that labor for the Lord is not in vain. Don't you feel like it is quite often? Don't you suppose that was Paul's fear? That all that work that he would do would be in vain. He wants people to get it. He wants us to get these things. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, 26. Have we fallen for this one? Galatians 5, 26. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. And I look at that just kind of generally here, and I recognize the fact that we tend to want to help somebody, get somebody else to do something, help them change their lives and get what they have, all the stuff about somebody else, and that gives you vain glory. Because you're glorifying the fact, well, I helped somebody, or I was able to have what they have, or I was envious of them. Because I want to grow, I want to have the glory, I want to be the better one here. That's vain glory. And we don't need to be desirous of vain glory. Provoking one another, envying one another. That's why we do those things, is for our own benefit, for our own glory. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Do we even know this one's taking place? If we're going to be seduced by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, then how about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Vain words are flattering words. They're words that are not true. We know that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, these vain words are words that are not based on rightly dividing. Profane and vain babblings. That's an amazing thing, that this Bible, which is the word of truth, can become so empty to somebody if it's taught wrong. How many people have read through their Bible and it meant nothing to them? It didn't make sense to them. Possibly because they're not saved. Possibly because they don't understand this stuff, and so it was a waste of time. It was done in vain. How do we know? Well, we're not being deceived by vain words, flattering words, good words, fair speeches. Because, see, if they're good words, we like them. If they're fair speeches, we like them. If they're flattering, we really like to hear that sort of a thing. But yet, are we being deceived with vain words? I believe we are. I believe that we're the generation, whatever you want to call it, that has actually have Paul's fears come true. The fact that what he said and written down to us has gone in vain. Is going in vain. Has it with you? Let's look here at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6 talks about people that have swerved. They've gotten off the trail, from which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling. Just words for nothing. Yibber yabber, yakking, chat, just nothing there. Vain jangling, vain babblings, words of deceit, vain. Fair speeches, good speeches, fair words. Good words, fair speeches. Vain. And Paul was afraid that this Bible, that which is perfect, has come. His words, his teachings would be in vain. Not for him, for his glory, but for Christ's glory, and for you to have what we'd have us have. And are we taking what Paul is teaching to us? Look at 2 Timothy. Now we do 2 Timothy 2:16. Or 1 Timothy 6:20, they both say the same thing. Avoid profane and vain babblings. They both talk about that. Look at Titus chapter 3. I've got a verse here, listening to vain talking and deceiving. I don't have the reference written down. Do we listen to vain talking? Do we listen to those deceivers right there that we just read? Then Great Commission Christians are deceiving us with vain talk, with flattery talk, with a false gospel. And it's a serious thing. Titus chapter 3, verse 9. He says to avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. It's a waste of time. How many of us have caught up in these arguments and these preachings and these street work battlings and contentions and all that sort of a thing, strivings, and they're striving about the law. We're not striving about the law. We're trying to show people the grace of God and the goodness of God. And we're supposed to do it without strife, and we haven't done that very well. Even just to avoid foolish questions, genealogies—that's the Baptist church. There's your apostolic succession for the Catholics. Well, the Baptists are just as bad. That your pastor was baptized back to that baptized to that baptized to that baptized back to John the Baptist. They're all over the place. There's people that think that you can't go to heaven unless you're a Baptist. That's amazing. So. 1 Corinthians 15. So what we have here is we have just some thoughts that as we struggle with what we all struggle with, just to be reminded, just to be warned, that I hope that we are not guilty or too much guilty. I'm sure we are guilty. I believe that. I hope we're not too much guilty. That we would be looked upon by Paul as what he's taught us. He's taught us in vain. That was his biggest fear. So we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is one other option. Maybe none of this is true. Not what I preach. I mean, what Paul has to say. Maybe what Paul preaches and teaches isn't true. Maybe Christ has not risen and talked to Paul. This is how people believe this stuff. They may never say this, but no, we're not supposed to follow Paul. Okay, so then you're saying that Paul is a liar. Maybe what Paul has to say is not true. Maybe Paul didn't meet face to face with the Lord. Maybe those things weren't given to him by revelation. Maybe it's just all a bunch of bogus teachings, religion. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, where it says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Do we look to Paul's preaching as vain, a waste of time? Has it been a waste of 13 years or 5 years for me or 8 years? Is it going to waste your time in the future? Are you wasting your time tonight? Because really, Christ hasn't risen. Then all the stuff that these folks have taught to us, that we teach you, is in vain? Well, see, that's the case. Verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. So either Paul is telling us the truth, or Paul isn't telling us the truth. And he wants us to hear the truth, believe the truth. Christ, in verse 14, if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God. Is that what we are to people? Because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. All that stuff in Romans chapter 4 is not true. All that stuff in Colossians and Galatians is not true. Ephesians chapter 2 and in Ephesians chapter 3, all the things that He did bring us nigh unto God, none of that's true? Well, it's true. The Bible tells me that. The Bible tells me so. Also tells me that Paul's biggest fear is that he would do what he would do in vain, and people wouldn't get it. Are we fulfilling his fear? Well, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. I don't believe that's the case with me. Although we sure find ourselves slipping back and getting tired. I miss the fellowship. I miss talking with people face to face and things that we've had in the past. I know you folks do too. But we can't let ourselves waver from trying to follow Paul. You follow Paul, you're following Christ as He's taught us to follow. And that's by following Paul. Okay? So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, so will we. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So I know whom I believe. I know who I believe in. I know that King James Bible to be the Word of God. I believe it to be rightly divided, and I believe that what I need to preach will be true. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Doesn't mean you're going to do it. But that's what has to be preached. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, just over one page probably. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. We're told to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Okay? Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I've learned this stuff from the risen Savior, just like it says in Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. No, verse 21. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, yes, I believe I've been taught by the risen Savior. I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm not saying that like a Calvinist, that God has chosen me. No, I just get this from reading my Bible and over the years and seeing what you see, reading what you read. I really believe that tonight's message about the fact that we could possibly be Paul's greatest fear coming true, I don't think that's a good message. I think it's a unique message, but I think it's true. And that's a hard thing. So he says to continue in the things that you have learned because you know who you learned them from. You've been assured of that. Jesus Christ directly taught Paul, written down, King James Bible. We can find it in there by rightly dividing, not get caught up in the other teachings and their religions. Read the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, but know which to you. Base your life according to that. And it'll be a very difficult life to have. If you want to have that good and joyful life that few people are having, but they want it anyway, you're tired of how you're dressed, you're tired of how you're being treated, you're tired of how you're treating others, you're tired of how you can't have any fun anymore, you're tired of things you can't be around, you're tired of this, you're tired of that, then you're fading. You're forsaking Paul. You forsake Paul, you forsake the risen Savior. And don't faint. Don't give up. Be steadfast, unmovable. That's what we're called to do, to be a good soldier, or a soldier, and fight the good fight of faith. That's what it's all about.